Thank you, Michael. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll continue our meditations on the book of Ephesians. Subject of the first 13 verses, great unity with a diversity of gifts that results in spiritual maturity. Unity with a diversity of gifts that results in maturity. Humanity is deeply divided. We are fractured along many lines: language, geography, race, skin color, gender, religion, ideology, politics, economic status. These divisions have stirred up hatreds and wars over the centuries. For thousands of years, humanity has been plagued by people hating and harming other people, nation hating nation, racism, wars, holocausts, genocides. Messiah's community, made up of the faithful remnant of Messianic Jews called out of the chosen people, and people called out from the other nations of the world, is to be different. We are one new man, a new united humanity, in which differences of race, language, gender, and economic status don't divide. We are to be a community among whom peace and love and harmony prevail, a fellowship of shared goals and values. We are to be people who are equally yoked so that we all pull together in the same direction. Knowing this, Rabbi Paul, the very special apostle to the Gentiles, the Lord's divinely inspired Jewish representative to the nations, identifies himself in this part of his letter to the Ephesians as a prisoner for the Lord. Let's look at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Great Rabbi Paul was in prison writing this letter. He was suffering for the Lord and suffering for the Lord's people. When someone is suffering for someone else, it creates a special bond between them. Paul had that bond with the Ephesians, and he uses his bond with them, caused by his suffering, to appeal to them to live a life worthy of the calling they have received. Their calling was an invitation by a holy God to become his children and live with him forever in his perfect kingdom. Paul appeals to them to live that way now, not just in the future when they get to heaven. And Paul specifies some of the ways he wanted them to live now. They were to be humble, not thinking too highly of themselves, but trying to think highly of others. Esteeming others in the community, thinking about how to advance them and help them reach their God-given potential. They were to be gentle with each other, not harsh, but kind and reasonable and fair in their dealings with others. They were to be patient. Christians and Messianic Jews, although saved, are imperfect. We will make mistakes. We will sin. We will say and do things that will hurt others in Messiah's community. But we are recipients of God's mercy, and we are motivated by love, and love looks out for others and forgives others. And so out of love, we are to patiently bear with others when they make mistakes, which they will, when they sin, which they will, when they hurt us, which they will. We help them see where they are wrong, and we patiently and lovingly try to correct them. Paul appeals to them to be patient with one another. They were to be unified. They were to make every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach, the Spirit, through the bond of peace. The Spirit of God Himself had united this faithful remnant of broken humanity, united them to God, united them to each other. The Spirit of God had brought them into a community characterized by shalom, peace, peace with God, and peace with one another. They were to make every effort to maintain this unity, this peace. Paul knew that it was inevitable that things would happen that would jeopardize that unity and that peace. They were to do everything possible not to allow that to happen. They were to do everything they possibly could to make sure that their unity and their peace remained unbroken and intact. Now, inevitably, situations will happen that will threaten to break this bond of peace. But there are even greater reasons to maintain our unity. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. Tremendous unity. Now, even though there are local communities of Messiah's followers that are characterized by race or economic status, the reality is that there is only one body, one great community of all of God's sons and daughters, which we are all part of, and that unites us. There really isn't a Messianic Jewish community that is separate from the Gentile Christian church. There isn't an affluent suburban church and a poorer inner city church. There isn't a black church, a white church, an Asian church. There really isn't a Baptist church, a Lutheran church, a Presbyterian church. While there may be various denominations and local congregations characterized by different races and economic realities and geographical differences, the truth is that Messianic Jews and Christians from the nations are part of one great eternal fellowship of salvation. And membership in this one body, this one great community, unites us. There's one Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. This all-present but invisible person lives in each one of us, uniting us to God, the Father, Messiah, the Son, and uniting the children of God to each other. The Spirit of God fills us with life. He teaches us. He guides us. He transforms us all into the same image, that of Messiah. He empowers each one of us to serve God and live a holy life. There is one Spirit, and the work of the one Spirit unites us. There's one calling to one hope. All of us were called to one hope when we were called. All of us were invited to experience the same hope, the same sure expectation of living forever with the three-in-one God in the New Jerusalem, to enjoy all the wonders of that blessed kingdom. drinking the water from the river of life which runs through the center of that magnificent city, eating from the tree of life that produces a different fruit each month and gives healing to the nations. All of us will have meaningful things to do, like help God rule the new universe. All of us will be perfectly righteous. There is one calling to one hope, and that one calling and that one great hope unites us. There's one Lord, the risen Messiah, the glorious Son of God, Yeshua, whom we are all joined to. One Lord who created us. One Lord who atones for us. One Lord who sustains us. One Lord who rules us. One Lord who is even now interceding for us. There is one Lord who suffered for us. One Lord who died for us. One Lord who was raised for us. One Lord who ascended and gave his Spirit to us. There is one Lord who will judge us but not condemn us. There is one Lord who loves us. There is one Lord who continually graces us. There is one Lord to whom we are all eternally indebted to. There is one Lord whom we all serve. There is one Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of God, and the one and only Savior. And our one Lord unites us. Amen. There is one faith, one core set of beliefs that we all adhere to. All true Christians and Messianic Jews believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We all believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, the Father's unique Son, and our Lord. We all believe that Messiah was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, that he descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again, that he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. We all believe in the Holy Spirit and in the one community of all Messiah's true followers, the unity of all the sons and daughters of God, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen? Amen. We might disagree about some of the lesser teachings, less central teachings, like the proper mode of baptism, or which day to set apart as a holy day, or the timing of the rapture, or even the reality of the millennial kingdom. But we all agree on the essential teachings of the faith. There is one faith, one core set of basic beliefs that we all adhere to, and our common faith unites us. There is one baptism, one initiation rite into Messiah's community of salvation that we all experience when we publicly confess to the world that Yeshua is the risen Lord and that he has cleansed us and saved us, and we are committed to him and his community from that point on and forever. And that shared initiation rite that we all undergo unites us. There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, and the all-authoritative and all-pervasive and beneficial fatherhood of God the Father unites each and every one of the sons and daughters of God. Amen? These great, tremendous spiritual realities are the source of profound unity and peace. They outweigh any differences of race or gender or economic status or geographical location. They overrule our offenses that might break the bond of peace and disrupt our unity. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God has been helping me and teaching me more and more over the years about making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I have been trying to practice this more and more. Once a month, I have a breakfast, along with Rabbi Glenn, with a diverse group of pastors from this area, a Lutheran, a Brethren, Baptist, an Independent, Blacks, Whites, Gentiles, Jews. It's my effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Several years ago, Shema made a decision to be involved with the EACH Network, a network of evangelical churches and organizations that has come together to unite the Evangelical Church of Metro Detroit and build it up and together bring the good news to those outside the community of salvation in Metro Detroit. Now, even though we don't agree with every teaching or practice of every church or organization that is involved in EACH, nevertheless, we decided to join EACH anyway. After all, how can you maintain the unity of the Spirit if you don't have any relationship with your fellow pastors or churches? More recently, I have been involved with Bridges of Love, which may develop into an even larger and more representative expression of Messiah's community in Metro Detroit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God's sons and daughters, the saved, the redeemed, the chosen ones called out from a dying world, have God-given causes for profound unity. But we are also individuals who are gifted by God with a variety of abilities. Unity, but diversity. The Creator designed the universe with diversity within unity. Unified principles, but diversity within that design. Now, if I were the Creator and was trying to create and populate a world of creatures, I might have come up with the idea of a butterfly. But I'm sure it would only have been one kind of butterfly and maybe a yellow butterfly, all yellow. That would have been me. How many butterflies has the Creator made? Estimates range from a low of 12,000 unique species to as many as 28,000 unique species of butterflies. With all of them, there's a unity of design, but differences of shapes and colors and sizes. They live in different habitats. They eat or lay eggs on different kinds of plants. They have different habits. But all of them are butterflies, amazing, miraculous, beautiful, beneficial. Unity and diversity working together. God works the same way with His children. Diversity within unity. He provides us with tremendous unity, but graces individuals with different gifts and abilities and talents. This particularly applies to leadership gifts within Messiah's community. So Rabbi Paul goes on to write, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Messiah apportioned it." And then he quotes from Psalm 68. This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." What does "he ascended" mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Paul is telling us that Messiah came from heaven and descended to the earth and then descended even lower to Sheol, the place of the dead. But hallelujah, praise the Lord, he rose out of Sheol and then ascended through the clouds and the various levels of the heavens to the very highest heavens. Why? What motivated the Son of God to leave heaven, descend to earth, die, and then ascend back to heaven? Why make this unique and dangerous and painful trip? The answer is to fill what was empty because of Satan, sin, the sin nature, and death. Because of the rebellion of the fallen angels and our joining their rebellion, resulting in the fall of man, the universe had become devoid of a relationship with God. Empty of spiritual life. It was a vacuum of love and peace and blessedness. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe, to fill it with glorious and honorable sons and daughters of God who are in a right relationship with their Father. To fill a dark, damaged, broken universe with light and love and peace and happiness and harmony and blessedness and eternal life. Messiah's journey from heaven to earth and back again is part of God's amazing plan to fill an empty universe. But Messiah's journey is only part of that plan. The risen Messiah right now is in heaven, at the right hand of God the Father. But fallen people who need to be filled with life and salvation are still on earth. Messiah wants to reach them, but he's in heaven at the right hand of God in a glorified body. And so his plan is to use human beings who have come to know him and his Father, fill this empty universe. And so he gifts people to help him accomplish this great task of filling up the universe. And so to each one of us, grace has been given as Messiah apportioned it. There are a variety of gifts and talents and abilities in Messiah's community, but they all come from the very same source, Messiah himself. You may not have the same gifts or the same degree of giftedness or talent that someone else has, but that should be okay since Messiah is the one who gives the gifts and has the right to give gifts as he chooses. Wouldn't you agree with that? We need to respect the Lord's will and the Lord's choices when it comes to the giving of gifts and talents and abilities. Do not resent that someone else may be more gifted than you. Do not be jealous of the gifts and talents and abilities of others. Instead, you should be thankful. Why? We are all part of this one great community. The gifts of others benefits you and all the rest of us. Be content with the gifts Messiah has apportioned to you, and be thankful for the gifts he gives to others. Also consider this. Giftedness and talent and ability is not the final determination of reward. Better to faithfully serve with fewer gifts than unfaithfully serve with more gifts. The inspired rabbi quoted Psalm 68, to strengthen his point, the Messiah is the one who has the right to give gifts to his people. Just as Adonai gave gifts to his people earlier in our history. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. In this fascinating song, Psalm 68, the Lord is described as present with the Jewish people after the Exodus from Egypt. He was there with us. He was our great leader. He traveled through the wilderness with us. He led us by day and by night. He fought with us against our enemies and conquered them. The wealth of the defeated enemy became the Lord's. He then gave the enemy's lands and peoples and animals and gold and silver and other precious things to us. He brought us into the land of Israel. He settled us there. He made us prosper. And then he ascended to heaven. Psalm 68. Paul applies this psalm to the risen Messiah. Yeshua also is Adonai, the Lord, who came down from heaven to be with us. He too fought for us, doing battle with the forces of darkness by taking on a human body, by resisting every temptation, by dying on a cross. Because of his sinless life, God the Father raised Messiah the Son from the dead. So because of his incarnation, his sinless perfect life, his atoning death, and his resurrection, Messiah defeated our enemies, Satan and the demons, sin, the sin nature, and death. And just as some of Israel's enemies, like the Gibeonites, became Israel's captives and served us, Messiah has taken captive those who were his enemies, people like Saul of Tarsus, the one who writes this letter. And he defeats them, he captures them, he turns them around, and then he gives them to serve his people, just like the Gibeonites served the Jewish people. But now it's within the new covenant community. He took captive many captives and gave gifts to his people. Some of the gifts that the Messiah gives us are people whom he has graced with special leadership abilities that greatly benefit the community of Messiah. Messiah himself, Rabbi Paul writes, gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. We don't have time today to go into detail about these gifts of spiritual leadership, which are so beneficial to Messiah's community. Lord willing, we will do that next week. What are the purposes of these gifts of spiritual leadership? Lord willing, we will cover that next week as well. But here is a preview: to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Messiah may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Messiah. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Messiah. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May this become more and more true for all of us in 2014. Amen.